Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And joining us on the line right now is Dr. John Lopez, Coastal Sustainability Program Director for the Lake Pontchartrain Basin Foundation, to talk about that ever-growing, problematic algae bloom that developed in Lake Pontchartrain, I guess as a result of the opening of the spillway. Welcome to the show, Dr. Lopez.
Good morning, Noel. Glad to be on. Happy to talk about some of those issues.
So, Doc, you know, we had a whole bunch of warnings that were issued about this bloom, about all the potential downstream effects of it. A lot of concern about the fishing industry, about bait fish in the lake, and then in comes Barry. And then some level of optimism is hopefully that it would break it up, maybe bring in, raise the salinity levels for a long enough period of time to kill it off. Did any of that happen?
Well, I mean, first of all, as someone yourself formerly in enforcement, our first concern is about, the people and flooding with Tropical Storm Barry or Hurricane Barry. But it does appear that there was some salt water that was brought in. We were out in the marsh yesterday near the MRGO, and salinities were distinctly higher than what we've seen in the last couple of years. So it does appear that Barry did bring in some salt water into the marsh. We haven't checked the lake yet, but we will be doing that shortly.
So have we been able to determine what the status is of the algae bloom?
Well, at this point, DEQ does not have any advisories for Lake Pontchartrain. So at this point, DEQ is not identifying, any major bloom. We have been taking water quality samples and working with LSU, and there is algae in the water, but of course there's always some algae in the water.
Right.
It's about how much and what type. They have identified some of what's considered the harmful algal species in the lake, but at this point, the toxin, and that's really the concern that's being generated, has not been extremely high. So at this point, it's still kind of a monitor and see what happens. We know that these severe algal blooms can occur as much as a month or two after the closure of the spillway. And, of course, the spillway is still open, and right now they're saying they'll start to close it toward the end of the month. So at this point, the overall assessment, I guess I would say, is that the algae of concern seems to be, in its worst, kind of patchy and moves around. It kind of comes and goes. We've not seen a massive bloom. But it's still definitely, we got to monitor it. We still have another month or two that we might see something more severe happen.
That was going to be my next question. It seems as though the conditions could be really favorable to create another incident of this algae bloom when we have temperatures that are predicting near 100, not a lot of rain, and that could create more of a problem, correct?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, we are kind of going into what seems to be ideal conditions for the algae to develop. The thing that's odd, though, to us is the last time there was a very large, massive bloom in the lake was the spillway opening in 1997. We really have not seen massive blooms since then, even with several spillway openings and even with many times where it seemed like conditions seem to be ideal. One thing I just remind folks is that, the system does have some ways to kind of counterbalance. I think this is at least partly what's going on is, the Rangia clam. You have a Rangia clam in the lake. A lot of people are familiar with the clam. You see it in the old driveways, but the Rangia has been recovering in the lake. It's not, I would say, at optimum recovery, but it's definitely been recovering, has had dramatic recovery since they stopped shell dredging in the lake. And, of course, the clams are filter feeders, and mm-hmm. they help filter the water and renew the algae, and that's part of the algae is part of the food chain or food web. The clams eat the algae, the crabs eat the clams, and so forth.
Yeah, it was good. You know, I was always kind of curious too, because in modern times, I just really haven't heard a lot about these algae blooms, and we've opened the spillway multiple times, and I know that we've had similar conditions. I kind of thought maybe it would have been the prevailing winds. We had more prevailing southeasterly winds blowing in more salt water and getting the salinity levels up, as being maybe one of the reasons why the algae didn't form.
To be honest, I don't think we have a clear answer on this, because I agree. It seems like we should have seen more massive blooms than what we have actually seen in the last few years. Not trying to understate the problem. I mean, we don't want, these kind of localized blooms happening. But in 97, once again, it was a massive bloom. They actually had health advisories for the whole lake. It was the whole lake pretty much looked like pea soup, and we haven't seen anything like that since 97. And it's, once again, it's not clear to us exactly why that is. I mean, we think it's kind of good, but at the same time, we're not saying that the blooms that are happening now are something that we should just accept or not have concerns about.
So, there was a lot of chatter about whether or not it was, fertilizer runoff from up north in the agricultural lands to the north of us entering the Mississippi, that coming in through the lake, and that's what was stimulating that. Is that overstated?
No, I mean the river has higher levels of fertilizer, nitrogen and phosphorus, and we did consider the possibility that, maybe with all this water, I mean, this is, of course, remind folks, this is just a really unprecedented flood. I mean, this high water started in November. There's a certain amount of fertilizer that's available. One thought was that, well, with all this water, the fertilizers are getting diluted. There's so much water that it's been diluted. We actually looked at that, and the nitrogen levels have been more or less maintained the normal levels that we see in kind of a normal river condition. So unfortunately, that was not a factor that maybe would have reduced the potential for the algal blooms. And the nitrogen phosphorus levels have more or less maintained themselves throughout this flood. So you're right, though, it does go back to agriculture in the Midwest, the runoff from agricultural fields. We've seen on CNN those fields flooded. That's the fields that are carrying that. And some of that fertilizer into the drainage that eventually gets into the Mississippi River and into our coast.
Yeah. Well, Doc, thank you so much for joining us. I guess we will be checking back with you to see whether or not these conditions arise again. Hopefully not. And hopefully they get to close this spillway off sooner rather than later.
Yes, absolutely. And, of course, call anytime, or we're happy to talk. And folks, visit our website, saverlake.org, to get other information also.
Sounds great. Thank you. Dr. John Lopez, right. Coastal Sustainability Program Director for the Lake Pontchartrain Basin Foundation. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.